Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the NS9 postgame show powered by Permane Brothers. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Jim Rosati. Jim, another Bucco win, baby.
Raise it. Another series win, too. Back-to-back road series wins. You love to see it.
Two series in a row, like you said, two road series. Pirates are 6-1. Heading into the home opener tomorrow, everything that you love to see. You know what you love to see even more than that?
Free sandwiches.
You know the answer. Free sandwiches. Jim, tell us how you can get free sandwiches right now.
Yeah, so you win when the Bucks win. Make sure you comment, hashtag raise it in the comments during the stream. It can be uppercase, lowercase, within a comment, whatever. Hashtag raise it, all one word. That'll get you into the giveaway for two free Permane Brothers sandwiches.
There you go. So go ahead and do it right now. Hashtag raise it right now. Everyone should be doing it. I don't want to see that we have like 150 in here and like 70 entries or whatever. Everybody needs a comment right now. Get yourself a sandwich. With that said, also, another new member, Jim.
Yeah, Tom. Thanks, Tom.
Tom. We got ourselves a new member. Congrats. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it big time.
With that said, let's talk about this show.
Let's do it.
Well, let's talk about the game. The bats came back. That was nice to see. Martin Perez made his second start. Another very efficient, quality start. Looked good out there again. I mean, like, basically, this is the game where it all came together. Like, this is what you've been pretty much seeing for most of this year so far. The games they've played outside of yesterday's game. Solid starting pitching. The bullpen came through mostly. The hits, mostly. You know, the bats were there. guys were getting on base via walk. The hits, like everything just kind of came together again. It's just a good Bucco victory.
Yeah, what was nice about this one is they just jumped on them right out of the gate. Josiah Gray had a pretty rough opening day start for the Nationals. And this was his second start of the year. And this game, I mean, you don't want to say like a game is over in the first inning, but when you put up four runs in the first and then you followed up with a zero that Perez followed up the inning with in the bottom half, then you add another run in the second inning and you're up 5-0. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily put the game away, but it puts a lot of pressure on the Nationals. And when you put a lot of pressure on the Nationals like that, it puts Martin Perez, who again is a veteran pitcher, he knows what it's like to be out there with a lead. He just started attacking these Nationals hitters all night long. 85 pitches, 61 of those for strikes. It's hard to hit at the major league level. So like when you're putting that much pressure on major league hitters, the Nationals were putting the ball in play. They were hitting the ball hard at times, but it's still hard. It's hard to come back from 5-0. In a baseball game when, you know, you're not getting free passes left and right. And right. Perez did an excellent job just attacking hitters, putting pressure on them throughout this game. Again, he was super efficient, just pounded the strike zone. It was exactly what you wanted to see out of him, especially after being handed that lead early on.
Yeah, for sure. I think we talked about Gonzalez, like this degree, his last start. And we talked about, I wasn't on the show, so I don't remember who talked about it. But Perez, the same thing. Like, this is the recipe. Like, if Martin Perez is going to be good this year, this was legit the recipe. He shows you how he can go out there and give you six innings. Like, that's what's huge, too. Not like the bullpen has been taxed all year long. They really haven't. But it's nice that they're fresh going to the home opener tomorrow as well with Jared Jones taking them out after his electric start, his first time out. You know, like, the bullpen's fresh. They're ready to go. So like that's what Martin Perez, if he's going to do this for you, right? that's also a big plus. I mean, he was very efficient. Not a lot of swing and misses, but like he had that out pitch going for him. He got it when he needed it. Six strikeouts as well in those 6.2 innings, which again only came from, there was only eight swing and misses on the game from him as well. So like you said, like he was just pounding the strike zone, looking very efficient. I'm not going to say he was giving up a lot of light contact. There was some hard contact there being made.
We're hitting the ball.
they were. So I'm not going to say lucky either, you know, but again, he was giving up some hard contact there. So not like the best thing you want to see, but still very efficient. Nothing was going out of the park. And again, because he was limiting the walk stuff, the opposite of what the Nationals were doing, right? Like there weren't guys on base. So when damage did come, it was very limited.
Yeah. It just goes back to this is what, his 10th, 11th year in Major League Baseball. I think he's been pitching since 2012. Like he knows what to do out there. Right. It's exactly what you want to see. I said, when you get a lead like that, it's not that you necessarily change up your game plan or you become a different person on the mound, but it's put so much pressure on the other team's hitters to perform. Right. And if you're not giving them stuff, it's tough. And I said, just pounding the strike zone, getting ahead in counts, it's hard to hit at the major league level when you're behind in the count. When it's 0-1, 0-2, 1-2, like you're at a severe disadvantage. And that's just the position that he put the Nationals hitters in all night long. Just super efficient. He ran into a little bit of trouble there in the seventh inning. And even then, I wouldn't even say like he could have probably gotten out of it. But, you know, early on in the season, bullpen's fresh. Go ahead and just say, hey, good job. Go ahead and hand the ball over to the bullpen. And Ortiz got the job done to finish that inning off. But yeah, a really, really strong start by Martin Perez. And I kind of want to touch on this a little bit. I think we underestimated his upside a little bit. Like when he was signed, I think that's kind of said that, you know, this is like a ho-hum signing. He's a guy, he'll eat some innings, maybe like a number four or number five starter, but I know it's only been two games and it hasn't been against the best lineups in the world, but he hasn't pitched at PNC Park yet, which is also only going to help him. I think there's some more upside here to Martin Perez than we originally gave him credit for. Like this is a guy who potentially, I mean, if he keeps pitching like he has been to start the year, again, it's only two starts, but if you can get a guy who gives you like 200 innings and gives you an ERA somewhere like around four, like you're talking about a very valuable starting pitcher, especially for the $8 million that they signed. So, so far, nothing to complain about when it comes to Perez. He's looked great in the spring, and he's looked pretty good throughout his first two starts.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't want to poo-poo on him right now in this sense. I mean, he's come off the strong, but it has been 2 week lineups, and now, I mean, we're seeing with the Marlins, like, that's a pretty bad team. They're, what, 0-8 now after tonight's dramatic loss? But, like, what you do say is maybe we did miss out on some little upside. I mean, we did like it. Him and Gonzalez, we liked it for the fact that, like, hey, PNC, two lefties, like, that could better them in the sense. I mean, like him getting out of Texas alone into PNC Park is going to probably benefit him. But I'm going to pump the brakes. I still want to see more from him. And again, probably seeing better lineups or in division and such. But tonight, and again, going back to the Marlins, like what you have seen so far is all you can assess with. And he's done what he's needed to do against those lineups. So you can't take it away. You're absolutely correct. Like, if this is what he's going to give you and this is what he presents, this is a really good pitcher. I'll put it that way. I'm not going to put numbers on it, but certainly a guy that you want in this rotation, which is a rotation looks very suspect to begin with on the year. So
yeah. None of us disliked the signing. Right. But no. it was kind of just like, yeah, he makes the team better because they need pitchers, but you know, there's limited upside here. And I'm kind of reconsidering the upside here with okay. Martin Perez.
Fair enough. I'm still kind of where I'm at. I'm liking what I see so far, and that's making me feel better about it. But what I'll say though is, again, like Jared Jones had a very electric start. The earned runs were still there per se, But like Martin Perez has probably looked, I mean, he's been the most efficient, effective pitcher so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was great tonight. Yeah. Like I said, especially, and you never know how people are going to react to out of a rain delay. Like there were some weird things that happened tonight. And like I said, he got the lead, pitched exactly how you want to see him pitch. A start like this is why you brought in Martin Perez.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So good stuff from him. Maybe we'll keep it on the pitching side here as well. You did mention how Luis Ortiz came in, shut down the inning.
Yeah. I mean, Ortiz was someone who I think his first two outings of the year looked like electric out of the bullpen, especially in that extra inning outing that he had. Not necessarily the same today. The velocity was a little bit down. Did throw a really good slider to strike out. I think it was Riley is who he struck out. But he had one like really, really nasty pitch there. But yeah, he didn't look good tonight. Command wasn't there. Two walks, two hits. Like I said, the velocity was down. You could maybe chalk that up to maybe weather related. This is his first time pitching in kind of colder weather all season long. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but he definitely didn't look the same as he did when he was at Miami.
Right. Yeah. To me, it just kind of is what it is. Let's just keep seeing, you know, what you get from him. Again, the first two really, really strong. That made me feel very encouraged on bullpen Ortiz. Tonight, he didn't look sharp at all. A lot of the issues from before kind of crept up today. And again, I'm not trying to give him excuses. It is just one outing he had in the sense. Let's just keep seeing it because you know what he has in the tank. You know, like, you know what's in that arsenal if he can just kind of command it and such. So the thing is, though, is like he wasn't at his best. We talked about like limiting damage. Like it was two earned runs he gave up. You don't want to really see that, but he had a 5-run lead. No, sorry. A 5-run lead. So like, you can live with that. Right. But then when they got a little bit dicey there, they did go ahead and bring in Chapman to clean it up. And he did so.
Yeah. Chapman has looked really good. Chapman has looked really good so far. And at the start of the year,
did you see that stare down he gave to when he struck him out? Like
he's been staring everybody like down. That. He's been staring.
He's,
everyone
he's
down.
Feeling himself right now too. So,
I mean, as he should be, I'd rather him feel himself than, you know,
no, Jim, you didn't do it. With that said, everyone, if you haven't yet, go ahead and comment hashtag raise it for your chance for two free from Andy Brothers sandwiches. But yeah, so again, not great from Luis Ortiz, but didn't hurt anything. Chapman comes down and of course closes everything out for us. Turns it over to David Bednar, who we're talking about with his bullpen and such. And also, ironically, the Pirates have all these saves from all these different pitchers, none of them from David Bednar yet. He comes in for the save opportunity, shuts it down. So he looked, I felt, last time out, he did give up the home run. Had to go back into, you know, extras and whatever. The Pirates end up winning. No harm, no foul. But today he comes in and he looked sharp.
Yeah, he looked good today. Two strikeouts in the 1-2-3 ninth inning. Even the blown save that he had, I thought he looked sharp. He made one bad pitch that got hit out of the ballpark. So, yeah, Bednar's looked good. You wanted to see him get, you know, kind of bounce back today, get that first save under his belt. This is now, what, 5 saves by the Pirates by 5 different pitchers?
Right.
So hopefully now they can kind of get back into the groove of things, get people into their assigned spots. But it's nice that the bullpen has been so good early on and to kind of pick up that slack for Bednar's injury in the blown save he had earlier. But yeah, he looked great tonight. I think I have no concerns right now about David Bednar.
No, none at all. After the spring where he didn't really have too many appearances because of the injury and everyone was worried because he didn't make an appearance in like the first how many ever games it was in the regular season. Yeah, I think he's good. So big sigh of relief. David Bednar gets his first save tonight. Let's just turn this over to the offense though. I mean, like you mentioned, the game starts off. We had that rain delay. Josiah Gray comes out, young, talented arm. He didn't have a great first start at all. I think he came in today with like a 19.5 ERA, something like that. But again, like, you know, the talent that he presents. The Pirates struggled yesterday against Trevor Williams. You know, was this going to carry over on today? It was the rain delay going to, you know, change things up and make them struggle, right? Or like, what's going to happen? Right off the bat, O'Neill Cruz gets a single. Brian Reynolds gets a double. Like, the offense, like you said, just came right out. Everyone hit except for Michael A. Taylor that inning.
Yeah, and as far as that offense goes, the first seven batters of the game all had productive at-bats. Like you mentioned, Cruz single, productive. Reynolds double, productive. Hayes walk, productive. Swinski, sack fly, 1-0 Pirates, productive. Connor Joe, walk, productive. Rowdy Tellez, single, 3-0 Pirates, productive. Henry Davis, sack fly, 4-0 Pirates, another productive at-bat. So when you lead off the game, your first seven hitters all contributing to your offense, you can't ask for a much better start than that. So, yeah, jumping on Gray early, making him throw a ton of pitches. You know, he wasn't able to get out of the fifth inning. He probably stayed in the game a lot longer than I thought he was going to. He threw 96 pitches today. And that was really just, I think Washington kind of just needed him to go out there and throw. But yeah, I mean,
he also did settle down a bit though, too.
Yeah. After that second inning, he gave the other run to Reynolds, in the second to go down 5-0. But then, yeah, he did settle down a little bit, before Derek Law came in, who normally is lights out against the Pirates. But the Pirates were able to add on against him as well. So yeah, all in all, a really good, start to the game by the offense. And I said, when you do that and you just go up early like that, it makes the game a lot easier for everyone involved.
Yes. I actually wanted to comment on what Nolan just said here as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you said how it's like, you can't ask for more than seven guys all being productive and such. And what I want to get to is the fact that, like, the one thing we talked about was the bullpen and I guess that's two things, the bullpen and the offense this year coming into the season, right? We mentioned how the rotation can be a bit suspect. We're not sure about it, but like, the offense looks like there's some capable hitters. It's definitely deeper. We weren't really sure about Rowdy Tellez. I'll say this. He's looking very strong, especially against righties. Michael A. Taylor is looking like a Hall of Famer. I'll just put it that way. Like, he is looking like a Hall of Famer these first few games. Suck it, Tyler. This 1-9, like, legit, this 1-9. When is the last time you looked at a Pirates lineup? At least, you know, for through seven games, whatever, like where we are right now. Like, when's the last time you looked at the 1-9 and said, you know what? I'm comfortable with this. I have faith in everybody. This isn't like last year, especially like the years before. It's like, okay, 1-3 is a capable hitter. After that, it's done. Everybody in this lineup tonight can produce. And they did, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. I'm going through, you know, last season's 2016, maybe.
I don't want to depress you, Jim. Stop. 2016. Stop.
The last time I can see a lineup where it's like, all right, 1-9, they're major league players. But no, you're right. And I think this is where we're talking about Michael A. Taylor a lot now, too. This is where he really helps this team a whole lot. Like, he adds so much length to that lineup. He adds depth to that outfield. He puts people in the right positions. I'm not even going to mention his I guess I'm going to mention it right now, but he's a 632 BABIP. He's hitting 480 on the year. Like, obviously those things aren't sustainable, right? But like, Michael A. Taylor is a major league baseball player and he's a pretty good one. He gives you really good defense, and at least offensively he's capable at the plate. So when he's your number nine hitter, that's a really good lineup. Like 1-9, like you mentioned, they're all major leaguers. And you know, one through nine, all capable of driving in runs if you need them to, all capable of starting a rally if you need them to. Whereas that just hasn't been the case in recent years. There were some lineups that were trotted out early on this decade, and it was just like, who is going to do anything here, right? For the majority of the games, I feel like the past 5 years, it's like, all right, like 1-5 is, you know, pretty capable, but, you know, 6-9, black hole. That's not the case now. Like, every single player the Pirates have on their 26-man roster on the offensive side is capable, which is really, really refreshing. And it's just a sign of like this team is obviously taking steps forward from where they've been in years past.
Absolutely. One thing I want to mention too, like you talk about the baby up and it is high. And like, yeah, so I'm not expecting him to have a over 400 batting average, close to 500 on the year. I get that. It's going to subside a little bit here, but four barrels on the year too after tonight's game. Like, so like he's making good contact. It's not as if it's like a bloop here and a bloop there. And you know, he's getting lucky and you know, I'll put it this way. He's not Adam Frazier-ing his way to his production so far this year. The guy is hitting the ball pretty hard and he's making good, solid contact. So, you know, and this is also where I got hammered last year a lot by certain people just, you know, talking about Sawinski. And like, I get how he's productive because strikeouts don't matter, this and that, but it's like putting the ball in play makes a difference. You know, like you can get out the same amount of times, but if you put the ball in play opposed to striking out, good things can happen. And like, this isn't, I'm not trying to say this in that sense, but like he's putting the ball in play. And good things are happening. And as we're seeing from the Pirates team, just in general right now so far this year, like they are putting the ball in play. They are making contact. Good things are just happening. So again, I can't ask for anything more than Michael A. Taylor. And like you said about him batting ninth, you know, if he can finally be like that pseudo leadoff guy that we've been looking for in this lineup for some years, especially now because it seems as if Cruz, obviously against righties for sure, is going to be leading off. Like for Cruz to get someone like Michael A. Taylor ahead of him in that lineup as the number nine to act as like the leadoff hitter before it turns again, Cruz can put it together. Like that only helps this lineup even more because then it's Taylor, Cruz, Reynolds, Key, you know, like just like that lineup just looks good now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's a very lengthy lineup. You know, you just put this lineup and you stack it right next to Washington's, right? I mean, if you're wanting to just compare and contrast here, right? Washington's 7, 8, 9 hitters. Some dude named Lipscomb. I don't know who the hell this
some
guy is.
Some dude.
Ildemaro Vargas, who we know who he is. Like Ildemaro Vargas is in this guy in this lineup, right? And then I don't know, Jacob Young in number nine spot. So like these are just. These are lineups that you're used to the Pirates kind of trotting out there in years past. And you can tell there's a clear difference now. Like this Pirates team is not the same Pirates team as in years past.
Right. Right. So like when you talk about us saying the floor of this team, like this is why the floor is up there. I think the rotation is what's going to put a cap on the ceiling of how good this team can be. Although so far good enough, but yeah, like you are absolutely seeing it with this lineup. Like there is some real capable hitters. Now, will it sustain? That's to be said. We saw this last year in April as well, right? But there is some real talent here. And it's playing right now. I mean, you have to be excited about this team at this point in time.
Yeah, and guy who we haven't even mentioned his name yet, Connor Joe, just an outstanding start to the season. His, you know, he homers today. He's got a 184 weighted runs created plus right now. He's got a 615 slugging, a 469 OBP. So we're talking about somebody with an OPS well over 1,000. And he's been outstanding. That home run today, that basically, you know, that was like, that's what sealed the deal, right? Going up 7-1 in the fifth inning. He pretty much put the game out of reach with that one. So yeah, outstanding start for Connor Joe to this season. And I mean, it's lined up nicely for him, right? The five starts against lefties, like that's what he's here for, is to hit lefties. But today gets to start against a righty and did a great job. Yep.
Like how yesterday Jack Sawinski hit a home run off the lefty. Like things are happening the reverse ways, even like all good things are happening right now offensively. But yeah, look, I'm glad you brought him up because I do think Connor Joe gets maybe a little more hate than he deserves. I think there's a lot of people who feel like he's not that good of a player. And like we saw, like he was literally a two war player last year. Very competent baseball player, good bats. But I just think like he was overused to a degree. You know, we talked about that. Like in his role, he's going to be a very good player. And he has been used more because, you know, all the lefties we talk about, but it's also in his best situation, you know. But like, if you're using him basically just against lefties, especially, and here and there in righties, like if he's getting like 350 to 400 at bats in a year, you see what he can do. And he's a productive player. And like, he's showing it again. I mean, he can handle the bat. And again, like he is showing, he has a little bit of pop. He hits the ball in play, doesn't strike out a ton. He walks. He just does it all. He does it all well and just quietly.
Yeah. And you mentioned Tellez too with, I mean, you mentioned Tellez just looking really good against right-handed pitchers. So having those two healthy and using them in a platoon situation at first base, it early on looks like it's going to be pretty effective.
Yeah. Yeah. I said my piece about Roddy Tellez. I was pretty vocal on it. Again, like versus lefties, he's looked horrible, but that's expected. But versus righties, he has looked very good so far, and he's putting it together. And today he was doing it as well. So I'll continue to watch, continue to see. But like, if that platoon is going to be basically what this is here, again, the defense worries me a little bit. But like, if they're going to do this offensively, like that's productive, and you don't really, that defense doesn't matter that much unless Cabrian's still going to throw balls. Like, we're not talking about Noah Cruz, we're talking about Cabrian Hayes. Unless Cabrian Hayes is going to continue having those arm issues, Jim, those throwing problems.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Hayes. Like, he's hitting the ball, and then today he didn't hit the ball. I think he was like the only, him and Davis both, and Swinski didn't get hits. But yeah, the error today, his third error of the year, and he probably could have like five errors this year, you know, depending on what scores, decisions, how they went. But yeah, it's been a weird start to the season for Cabrian Hayes. But
when we said
6-1,
you wanted more offense from him, it wasn't like the trade off the defense, Jim. Still be a 3-war player.
Yeah. Although now it's like he may get that platinum glove now because he's hitting, right?
That's a good point. That's a good point. But yeah, weird start right now. I hope this isn't a trend, but weird start. But yeah, so again, offensively, very good game. Bullpen looked pretty good. Martin Perez on his birthday. Happy birthday, Martin Perez, and Mitch Keller, by the way, which again, just kind of weird. They both have the same birthday, so that's kind of cool, I guess. But
because of the leap year.
Because of the leap year, yes. Let's not go there.
I don't think that's how it works, but
no. But anything else you want to add in, or are we gonna get to the sandwiches?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just real quick, excellent series, excellent start to the year, 6-1 going into the home opener. I don't think anybody would have predicted that, even being the superior team here. I think we both expected a series win here against Washington. That road sweep against the Marlins was outstanding. So yeah, 6-1 heading back home now against the Baltimore Orioles. So this is like really your first test of the year. Orioles are definitely an entire different caliber team than what the Pirates have faced here to start the season. So it'll be a nice little, baseball is weird because it's short series, but it'll be a nice little measuring stick just to see how we stack up against Baltimore.
For sure. And Grayson Rodriguez face up against Jared Jones, who makes his home debut at the home opener. Like you mentioned, it's almost like having two debuts in one year. Like, he had his actual debut in Miami, and now he's having the home opener, which is like another debut for him. All the fam is going to be there. I mean, who would expect this team would be 6-1? Like, they had the potential. It's two weaker teams, but like, hey, they're 6-1 heading into this. The vibes are high. So is the water. So hopefully that doesn't cause any issues tomorrow.
Water is receding though. So we should be in good shape. Anybody there going to the game, you should be good.
So yeah. Again, like you mentioned, a good measuring stick. So cool. So with that said, let's get to the sandwiches. So last call for everybody. If you haven't yet, hashtag raise it, all one word. Basically, just mimic Cam Bonifay here. Only here, though, not with general managing. All right, just go ahead, mimic Cam Bonifay here. Hashtag raise it. With that said, also want to welcome another new member, Ricky Duncan. Thank you for being a member. Appreciate it. For everyone else, you know, look below. There's a join button. Like, subscribe to this. Hit the join to be a member. We have three tiers, 99 cent, $2.99, $4.99. The cool thing, too, is, Jim, on the 9th of every month, we're having some giveaways for our MVP members, right? The $4.99 tier.
Yeah.
We announced the giveaway this 9th was about a $70 value. Is that what we said it is?
Yeah.
So the hat, the mug, the $25 Permanente Brothers gift card. So if you haven't yet, want to support, we truly appreciate it. Appreciate all the members already. With that said, is it sandwich time?
I think it's sandwich time. Yep.
Let's do it. Let me go ahead and share this. And let's get to drawing.
Drum roll. See that confetti.
Forever. Connor Williams.
Hey, Connor. Congrats.
Speaking
Connor.
Of birthdays, his was just like a few days ago, right?
So yeah, his birthday belated. Was earlier in the week. So there you go. Happy belated birthday. Take some sandwiches. Congrats, Connor. Hey, there MVP. MVP too.
Actually, yeah. MVP yep. Connor.
There we go.
So all right.
Good job, Connor.
This is congrats. Awesome. More free sandwiches. I'm undefeated on the year. You're undefeated on the year. That's what I like to see.
Yeah.
All right. Stuff. Well, before we get out of here, if you also want to wait 19 minutes, we're going to be back for an NS9 Live. We thought it would be more of a gap because the rain delay happened, so there's less of a gap. But we'll be back again tonight. Our NS9 Live, Tyler Beyond, troll him, troll him, troll him. About Michael A. Taylor and whatever else you want to troll about. We'll be back in 19 minutes. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can. And we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.